Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to a live edition of Can We Talk Radio. Of course, I am your host, Raz Williams. Can We Talk Radio is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, if you have a question or comment and you want to call in and share, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may want to reach out to us via email at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, it's time for Can We Talk, guys. I mean, we've been doing a brief stint on relationships, and last week we talked about how to know if he or she's the right person for you. Well, we discussed characteristics that one should be looking at to help them or you make that decision. This week we're going to be taking it a step further. Instead of focusing on the other person, we're going to take a look at ourselves. Yes, that's right. We're going to take an honest look at ourselves and evaluation of whether or not we ourselves are truly relationship material. So with that said, the title of today's show is titled, Are You Relationship or Marriage Material? I got an email from a listener this week, and she wrote me a letter. And this is what she said. She said, I love my boyfriend, but for some reason, we are always arguing. He doesn't understand my needs and often gets annoyed with me for silly little things that I do. The last time we broke up, something that we do quite often, I felt so down. I was really depressed and suicidal, and I have been for quite some time. It's like I can't live with him nor without him. How can I get him to treat me well? Ariel. Okay, Ariel, well, let's tackle this. First of all, I think this is the wrong question to ask. Why? Because in my opinion, Ariel, you guys as a couple probably don't have any problems, but it sounds as though you each have individual personal problems, either both of you or at least one of you. These individual problems need to be solved first before you can truly experience a functional, loving relationship. What do I mean by this? Here's what I mean. Even though the problems in your relationship are apparent, the underlying problems are, for example, maybe an addiction problem, an anger problem. Maybe you're still struggling with issues that you went through in your past relationships, i.e. rejection, serious emotional trauma from previous relationships. Those are some of the things that you may have going on. So you get into a relationship with all this baggage and your past and unresolved problems, and then you want to be happy with somebody who also has their own set of problems, and it cannot work. So that's something for you to really think about. It's like wanting to have a baby when you know that you're homeless. You're living in the streets and you don't have a way to provide for this baby. You don't have a way to raise this baby up. It's the same way in a relationship with all the issues that you may have. You don't have a way to have a happy relationship or a marriage or a family. If you're going to go into a relationship area with all these issues and problems that are not related to the other person, you're going to have a problem. You also can't go into a relationship expecting the other person to solve your problems. You should only go into a relationship when you have something to offer the other person. Of course, taking care of each other is a part of the equation, and there's something that happens naturally, but it shouldn't be the main reason why you guys get into a relationship. you get into a relationship or a marriage because you want to make the other person happy, not because you want that person to make you happy. That's going into it with a take attitude instead of a giving attitude. So I'm sorry. Some people are not relationship material. Some people are not ready for a really true relationship. They would do better staying alone and taking care of their own personal problems and situations first, and then be ready to enter into a functional, loving, healthy relationship. So guys, work on yourselves first. Take care of your issues. Then you'll be better equipped to take care of a relationship. But with that said, let me go ahead and introduce my co-hosts. We've got Nikki in the building. Nikki, how you doing?
I'm fine, Raz. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. So, Nikki, what do you think of last week's show?
I think it was pretty cool, as usual. Necessary, as usual. Don't want to sound redundant, but I think everything, the last couple of weeks, everything's been going hand in hand.
Hey, Nikki, can you hear me good? Am I okay?
I can hear you, but it sounds like just a little bit of interference, like it's not as clear as usual.
Even now?
Yeah, I mean, I can hear you, but when you were doing the intro, it was like a little bit of static behind you.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll apologize. Okay, well, next we have Mr. Ronnie Ambrose in the building. How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm good. How you doing, Raz?
Doing good, sir. Doing good, man. So, Ronnie, you weren't here last week, but what do you think of today's topic?
I think it's good. You know, these are things we got to get our minds around so that we could have some level of control in the relationship so it's not just emotional. And, you know, like you're saying, if we look at ourselves to see are we really relationship or marriage material, we can go into the thing, you know, as part of the solution and not the problem. So, yeah, I think it's good. It's good for anybody who's going into a relationship or a commitment. You know, you do want to make sure you'll be able to carry out what it takes to have the relationship, you know, last and be fruitful. So, yeah, I think it's a good topic.
Absolutely. And, Nick, I'm sorry I didn't ask you. What do you think of today's topic?
I think it's cool. I actually said it. I said that all the topics are going hand in hand. So I think it's pretty cool. I think it's different because it challenges us to actually be honest about ourselves, which a lot of people have a hard time doing.
Absolutely. And I think we have another call on the line, a mystery caller maybe. Who's this? Okay, they probably just want to listen to the show. Not a problem. All right. Well, guys, let's go further. And, Ronnie, what do we have in the world going on today? It's time for the news.
Right on. Let's see. I just got one story that caught my eye. And, you know, I think it's a good story to present because we as Christians in America – we don't really understand the price that it takes to say that I'm going to follow Christ. And, you know, there's some people in different countries that are being persecuted for what we are, you know, for what we just think is, you know, every Sunday. And so this story comes out of Nigeria. And the headline is that it's open season on Christians out of Nigeria. So there's a pastor, Ayo Ortejiofo. He's a president of the Christian Association of Nigeria, and he's told lawmakers that Christians in Nigeria are an endangered species and that it has now become open season on Christians in the African nation. The pastor, Ayo, he met with lawmakers to seek aid in combating Islamic groups that have been continuously attacking Christian communities throughout the past few years. The attacks have come particular in the northern part of the country where Islamist terrorist group Boko Haram are on a mission to fully Islamize Nigeria. And so the CAN's president told lawmakers that the most troubling developments is that Islamists have begun targeting not only churches but schools, firing into classrooms when children are attending. And he says this is because Islamists have declared all schools except those teaching Islam are illegal. And so this terrorist group, Boko Haram, is intent on enforcing the law as well as others drawn by Sharia Islamic law. And so he's saying it's open season, and I guess the pastor's asking for help out there. And so this is just to inform, you know, the body of Christ. We need to pray for the northern region. We need to pray for the whole world because, you know, the enemy is using whatever he can to destroy this, to destroy the body of Christ so that we're not effective. And so I don't know if anybody remembers, but I believe it was last Christmas that, you know, there was a whole bunch of bombs that went off during church services. Like the Islamic groups were pulling up in front of churches and, you know, with explosives on their vehicles and blowing up the front of the churches, killing people in the hundreds, the tens and the hundreds. And so we don't have that problem here in America. We can go to church. We can claim to be Christians with no consequence, with no physical consequence. But we need to keep in mind that this is it costs some people, it's costing their lives to be in this body of Christ. And so we need to realize that this is way more serious than the Sunday service. This is way deeper than, you know, an emotional Sunday afternoon. You know, so I'm just bringing this to the forefront so we can know that we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The scripture says that we're to pray for the whole world and especially pray for each other because we do have a mission, whether we know that or whether we act like it or not. We do have a mission. And so this is not to make any ill feeling towards Islamic groups because they're being deceived, you know. They're being used by the enemy to carry out his work against the body of Christ. So we need to pray for the Muslims as well because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our problem is not the Muslim. Our problem is the institution of Islam that is using them to come against the body of Christ and the true God. So we need to pray for them as well and not be bitter and just stay informed and know that, you know, our brothers and sisters around the world are going through some stuff for what we take for granted in America. I know I could see what I could take it for granted. So I just want to, you know, open it up to the panel. If anybody has anything they'd like to add, you know, encouragement or anything, Raz.
Yeah, absolutely, Ronnie. Thanks for you did a good job as usual on the news, and definitely I think that's, you know, it's definitely terrible to hear this, and we definitely do need to be praying. It makes me think as you were talking that we really need to do another show on, first show on spiritual warfare because there's a lot of things going on that are really happening around the world that are really things are getting really intensified. And I know that there's been, by listening to the news, that there's been a lot of like unrest in the in Nigeria and in other places of parts of Africa where there are a lot of Islamic fundamentalists that are, you know, would do anything to, you know, to get attention. And I think this is definitely something that needs to be really addressed. Innocent people are getting killed. And it's funny how, you know, not to come against the Islamic culture and like that, but, you know, Africa was colonized by Islam, you know, I believe before the European slavery Holocaust. And, you know, and this is why we have the problem that we do right now. So, I think we got to pray. And that's my comment, bro.
Right on. And I'm glad you brought that up because it is strange to see Africans whose culture, you know, comes before the Arabs, you know, would follow the footsteps of a group that basically oppressed them. You know, the reason why they would be Islamic today is because their country or village was conquered by the Arabs' conquest of northern Africa. So it's really just, you know, another way the enemy is using his influence through false religion and through misinformation to cause people to attack the body of Christ. So, Nikki, I just wanted to hear what you have to say about this story about the pastor saying that it's open season on the Christians. They're blowing us up and they're shooting into our classrooms.
I just know that, I mean, this is just a different time. Ever since 9/11, life as we knew it changed, period. And it's just a trip if you think back, like, this started thousands and thousands of years ago from one man being disobedient. You know what I mean? And so it's still going down, like, you know, I mean, isn't this the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
I think it's Ishmael, right?
She's right.
It's the seed of Abraham. Ishmael, right. Those are the Muslims. And so it's just like from thousands and thousands of years ago, disobedience, still because of one man being disobedient or jumping the gun and not relying on what God himself told him, you know, put the whole world, we're still being affected right now today. And it's,
wow.
It's crazy. It is crazy if you really put it in that context. Like, man, so it's like the things that you do now can affect, you know, you be dead and gone, but it's still affecting your seed from generation to generation to generation. So it kind of ties in what we're talking about today as far as, you know, self-reflection, you know. Are we even ready? Because although God gave Abraham, told him, gave him that promise, he wasn't ready. His faith wasn't, you know, where it needed to be to even accept what God himself told him.
Yep. Well, that's, see, I didn't look at it like that, but that's truly what it is. And so, you know, I brought that up so that we can pray for our brothers that are abroad, that are being oppressed, as well as for those that are in our own neighborhoods that are still in bondage to, you know, whether it be psychological things or things in their past. We need to pray for the body of Christ to be strong and to not be timid. We're sending our children back to school. We need to pray that we're sending evangelists, that we're sending young people who are watching things with a spiritual mind and who are being the salt and the light. And that's the news. And I also wanted to give a shout out to this Victoria's Secret, ex-Victoria's Secret model. Her name is Kylie Basuti. She, in 2009, she won a Victoria's Secret's model search. And she beat out 10,000 other girls. And she became a Victoria's Secret model. She said that was her dream. And when she reached that point, she saw that it didn't fit with her life as a believer. And she went and tried to hang in there, but she said the more she stayed, the less she was able to perform what they wanted them to do, what they were asking of her, because she was clear that, you know, the lingerie is not clothing. And so, you know, there were things that were going on behind the scenes that she wasn't so, that she knew she shouldn't be around as a believer, and she decided to walk away from that job. She didn't get fired. She decided to walk away from that lifestyle. And because it interfered with her faith, she said there were young people looking up to her, and she knew she had the presence of mind. She had she was obedient enough to know that if I do this, I'm going to be leading other girls to think it's okay. So she stepped away from the Victoria's Secret thing, and now she's starting her own clothing line, and she's putting out clothes that have scripture on them. She's putting out clothes that send the message of Christ and eternal life. And she said the goal of this clothing line of hers is to send these babies back into school where they're taking the Bible and prayer away from believers, but they can't keep you from expressing your faith. So she says this way the young kids can open the door to leading other people to Christ because they're wearing their belief on their clothes. And so, you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to her. If anybody wanted to support, not just her, but there's plenty of local and underground online people that are selling clothes that are lifting up the name of the Father and that are paying respect to the authority of the Spirit, and we need to support them as a body. So I just wanted to give a shout out to her, and that's the news. And back to you, Raz.
Well, you know, Wani, I mean, you made a really awesome point. I want to commend this lady because, I mean, she rejected the allure of her contract, because I'm sure she had a good contract with Victoria's Secret and all that pressure, and she walked away from that to follow Christ, and that's just shows her character and where her faith is truly at. And
yeah.
And a lot of us can learn from that, really, because a lot of us do not. We don't make that decision. We succumb to the pressure, and we fall, and that's definitely big up to her, and that's wow, that's high level faith right there, man.
Yeah, I'm you know, that was refreshing to hear that in this time, you know. So you know, let's give her a shout out, Kylie. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing her name right, but it's Basuti, Kylie Basuti with two T's.
Right.
And so, yeah, man, you know, for her to do that, she's setting an example that, yeah, it's possible to trust in God enough to,
okay,
you know, not be tempted by the world.
Absolutely. Well, guys, well, Ronnie, thanks for the news. Oh, real quick, man, I wanted to just say that I heard on the news this week that Mr. Zimmerman got pulled over by the cops in Texas, and they found a piece in his glove compartment, man. Ronnie, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it just shows that he's not going to change. He's got a, he feels that if he did it once, he could probably do it again. And, you know, we need to watch out. That's what it is. We need to watch out, because if he was insecure enough to kill a 17-year-old kid before the trial, and now he's justified to do it, then, you know, he just has a green light. And I'm sure that people are threatening him and things of that nature, and it's not for the body of Christ to retaliate. You know, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And we don't operate in that level, and I don't want to, you know, persuade anybody to do anything to him, but I'm sure that he's got enough threats in his life right now that he feels he needs to carry a weapon with him. So, you know, we just pray that he comes into the saving knowledge as well, you know, because the Father is merciful. And so I can't afford to be anything but merciful to the man, as much as I know what he did was wrong. What he did was absolutely wrong, but it's where we're at. It's just society, the God of this world is using and working through his people. And so it's tough to say, but this is the spiritual truth, that if this man comes into the saving knowledge, he'll be forgiven and he'll be with us in eternity. So we can't be carnal about it. You know, it seems like Trayvon's parents were believers, and I just pray that the young man gave his life to Christ so that he could have eternal life, and so that we'll see him in eternity. So, but no, to hear the brother, it's not too far fetched that he's walking around with a burner, because I know people are probably sending him emails and you know, snail mail directly to his house. It's probably not a safe time for him anyway.
Absolutely, well, definitely we definitely pray for the Martin family, and also for Mr. Zimmerman,
yeah,
that he does find the Lord and truly become saved. And yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, let's get into today's show. And you know, guys, if you're just tuning in for the first time, tonight's topic is titled "Are You Relationship or Marriage Material?" And the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, I know what some of you are thinking right now. I'm sure some of you guys are saying, of course I'm ready for a relationship. It's what I've been waiting for so long. I just needed to know how to get it, you know, how to get one started. Well, I'm certainly not arguing that you want a real relationship. What this show tonight is going to be focusing on is if you're truly ready for a real functional relationship. This is tough to answer because it entails really looking at yourself and your beliefs, your attitudes, and your behaviors in a real open and honest way, and that's never easy. One thing I can tell you is that I've been there personally. I've been in that spot where all I could think about was how I so wanted to be in a relationship with all the affection, the understanding, the support, and the love that came along with that. And that's when I asked myself this very same question, and I realized that I didn't like the answer. I had some major changes to make in my life. And so how do you know if you're ready for a relationship before you start one, either with the wrong person or with the right person at the wrong time? So I identified a few areas that would make somebody not ready or qualify to be marriage material or relationship material. And one of the areas that I kind of like reference today is your selection process is off. And this is important to me because some people keep attracting the wrong people in their lives. Your great person compass is off. It's consistently pointing you to the wrong type of people. This typically happens because you're subconsciously trying to sabotage your relationship from the very beginning by choosing a man or woman who is not actually relationship material because you're too scared or too fearful of being vulnerable to another person. This could be mean because you saw abuse in your family, your parents maybe had a bad marriage, you don't have a positive frame of reference when it comes to marriage or a long-term relationship. So, Nikki, do you have any comments about that, about your selection process being off?
I think it can go deeper than just our childhood, because some people have come up in great two parent homes with safe parents and things of that nature. But sometimes I think it's just sin in itself. We're born into sin, and so therefore no situation is going to be perfect. But I think a lot of it has to do with insecurities, rejection, just flesh, so a lot of times we attract and also maturity. So a lot of times we attract the wrong person. And like I said, when you lie to yourself, when you're not.
What happened?
And Nikki, still on the line? Okay, we lost Nikki. Ronnie, same question to you.
Okay, yeah, as far as selection process, I think the selection, we got to start from the beginning according to what spirit you're operating on. So if you're not saved, you're operating according to the spirit and the power of this world, which your information is coming from society, and so your selection process is going to be coached by what you've seen, what's popular, popular culture, what's in the music, what's acceptable to society. This is going to this is what your determining factor is. Does it fit the status quo and things of that nature? So if that's what you build your selection process on, you're setting yourself up for failure, because society is a failing thing all the way across the board. You know, that just look around and see the things that are accepted in society. If society is what's your determining factor, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So if your selection process is influenced by the habits that we pick up from society, by what's acceptable and growing up under the influence of the teachings and the doctrines of this world, Yeah, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So you won't even consider the proper qualities. You won't consider, first off, has this person submitted to the Father? Where is this person's position spiritually? That right there would solve a lot of the problems. Next, you might think you want a husband, but you really want somebody to fill your father's shoes. And so you're putting all your pieces in the wrong, putting all your pegs in the wrong shape, because society has structured what you consider good or bad, and not the Bible. The Bible's going to tell you what you need. So if you can look at Proverbs 31, it tells you what a true woman is about. And so if you're a woman looking for a man, you fill those shoes, and guess what? The man will just come to you, because the Bible says if you do things according to God's righteousness, all the things that you need will be added to you. But if you try to force it yourself, or if you try to do it in this generic society way, you'll be setting yourself up for failure. So I think that's probably a part of the mistake. We go for people because of how they look, because of how much money they make, and because of how they make us feel, whether it be sexually in the bed or when you first meet them, your emotional level is high. Everything I just named is temporary and decaying daily. You can't count on money, because you could be working, get injured, now you're not making that same money. You can't count on the sex. You can get in a car accident and be paralyzed. You can't count on the emotional feeling that they make you feel when you first meet them after a year, because now you're used to them. So if you're basing your whole relationship on temporary things, emotional things, you'll never be satisfied, and that relationship won't work.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Wani. You know, we have a caller calling from the 951 area code. Hello, caller from the 951 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is Mike from Riverside.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, sir? Mike, what do you think of today's topic?
Well, first I want to commend you guys. It's good to have a show that's dealing with real issues from a biblical worldview. There's a lot of shows out there that, you know, don't take that biblical worldview. And if we don't have the biblical worldview as we approach difficult issues such as relationships, then as you guys know, just like the brother just recently said, we're going to be in for a difficult time in relationships or whatever it is, you know?
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say, I heard you guys talking about selection process and everything, and a lot of good points are being made, and I agree with everything that I've heard. I had a difficult time personally. I was married for a number of years, and my wife basically, she left and took her own route. And she abandoned the faith for some time, and as far as I know, still is in that arena outside of the body of Christ. But there was a time when I was trying to get back with her the whole time, and there was a time that I thought there was a possibility. And you're talking about selection process, and two things came to my mind. And if it was already mentioned, forgive me, but the two things that came to my mind were essentially, my emotions were tied up, because that when you're with somebody for so long, you just want to seek God and you don't want to be a blemish to the world for the Lord, you know, in regard to having a divorce. One thing that my emotions are telling me, you know, you just need to go back. But as I prayed and prayed and then sought God's will, the first thing was, did I have peace, or was I confused in regards to her? You know what I mean?
That's good, brother.
And, you know, you spend time in the Word, because the Scripture is our basis for everything we do. And we might not get a word straight from God's Word saying yes or no, which leads me to the second kind of selection process that I've come to is godly counsel from people who really know you and know the situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, with me, you know, I wanted to go back, but as I sought pastoral counsel who knew both of us as I saw godly people who were involved and knew what was happening, every direction I turned was like, hey brother, you need to step back, and this person is still, you know, living double lives. And so that godly counsel and that lack of peace with moving back to that person, back to my ex, is what ultimately kept me from making a really bad decision. Does that make sense?
It does, brother.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
That makes total sense, because if you don't have peace about it, then you know it's not God, because God is not you.
Yeah.
So Mike, what was the outcome of that situation?
Well, the outcome was, thankfully, by God's grace, I didn't rush into something because that's what, you know, we're relational beings, and a lot of times we get lonely and we rush into relationships.
That's right.
And thankfully, I didn't rush back into that with her, and I just kept an attitude of prayer and, you know, seeking my godly counselors and seeking the Lord, of course. And I held back, and then I ended up seeing that her lifestyle, and I knew that, you know what, I can't go back to that, otherwise I'm just going to be in the same cycle, and that's not what God wanted for me, you know what I mean?
That's good, brother.
That's real good.
So, Mike, are you guys still in contact? Did you move on? Where are you at right now in your life?
What I had to do, and it was tough, bro. It was tough. I had to tell her, like, hey, and you need to seek the Lord. We both need to seek God and cut everything off and really seek our first love and hear from Him.
Amen.
And in doing that, I knew that wasn't what she wanted. You know, I'm in ministry, and I had an inkling in my heart, and then I got confirmation from godly counselors that she didn't want that whatsoever. If anything, she wanted me out of ministry.
Wow.
And so, you know, I cut that off, and that was tough. I was tough, but some months later, the Lord brought someone into my life that sold out for Jesus.
Sold
out for ministry, man. Praise the Lord, dude.
Hey, man, I'm happy for you, brother.
Thank you. And now I'm back, you know, restored in serving God. And using my gifts the way I once did, and it's a blessing.
Wow.
So just imagine, Mike, had you jumped the gun, went back into those familiar emotions, you would have missed what God really had for you.
Oh, you're right, sis. I would have missed it, and I'd be living a difficult, miserable life.
Right.
Hey, wow. Thank you, brother, for your transparency, man. We thank you.
Keep in touch with us, Mike. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, I will.
Mike, I want to ask you real quick. So, what advice would you give out there to people who are evaluating whether or not their relationship or marriage material?
Can you say that again, please? I'm sorry.
Mike, what advice would you give out there to people listening to the show right now who are trying to evaluate their lives and see if they're marriage or relationship material?
Okay. Number one, I would just give the advice that if they're content in Christ alone, if they're content in Christ alone, that they don't need another person to make them happy, that's a huge stepping stone right there, because then they can have those eyes to see the right person that God may bring to them.
Wow, that's major.
And it's not like I'm not implying feeling like you ought to be single, but in the sense that, you know what, I am sold out on Christ and His Lordship over my life, and I'm dependent on Him alone. If He brings someone to me, praise the Lord. If He doesn't, praise Him anyways.
Wow.
That's it. Right? Wow.
That's it. That's real. That's real.
Absolutely, Mike. That's a blessing, Mike. Listen, Mike, we definitely want to have you back on the show, so definitely please call us back. And if you have some time, hang out for us for a little bit, and we're going to cover some more areas. If you have some time, Mike, or you got to go?
You know, I've just borrowed somebody's phone, so I don't have any time this evening, but I'd love
That's cool.
to call in another time.
Please do. Absolutely. Email us. Let's keep in touch.
I will. You'll hear from me again. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
God bless you, brother. Stay strong.
All right. Thank you. You too.
God bless you, Mike. Thank you.
That's cool.
Ronnie, what do you think about Mike's comments?
Man, that is wonderful. I hope whoever's listening and whoever may be dealing with something like that, how the brother told you, he walked through it step by step. The issue was heavy. You know, dealing with your marriage in danger, it's not only sad to see because your marriage is falling apart, your pride is damaged. You feel like you failed. It's embarrassing. You understand? But the brother stood in the promises of the Father. He knows that, like he said, he was content in being in Christ. It wasn't easy. He didn't say it was easy. I'm sure he had some lonely nights. I'm sure, you know, he was burning with either anger or whatever, but he reinforced himself in the Lord, and he stuck it out. He was patient. He used his self-control, and he was rewarded with somebody that suited him, you know, and so he didn't say it was easy. He didn't say it was easy, but he stuck to the promises. He knew for sure that he was supposed to have peace and not chaos, and he got it. So, I give all the credit to the Father, and, you know, more power to him and the Lord. And, you know, that was refreshing. That was refreshing.
Absolutely.
Right,
that was very encouraging.
He did say, he actually did say it was hard, and it is a trip. That the one thing that he kept speaking on was godly counsel. Sometimes
yeah.
we don't seek godly counsel when our emotions are all involved, because we actually want to seek people who's going to tell us, you know, to go and do and agree with how we feel, versus somebody who's going to say, wait a minute, that's not God. Wait a minute, you need to sit down. You need to. That's why it is so important to seek godly counsel versus seeking,
Amen.
You know, people who you feel like is going to agree or be in agreement with your emotion, basically.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's true.
Point, Nikki. Excellent point. Well, guys, listen, if you're listening for the first time, we're talking about, are you relationship or marriage material? The number to call us is 347-945-7310. The number again is 347-945-7310. Okay, my next point that I wanted to make is that you believe you can save him or her. Many men and women have a savior complex, and they find themselves a project girl or guy. What this really means is that they're looking for dysfunction so that they have the trauma in their lives that they subconsciously crave. It may stem from a variety of sources, but the end result is that you will wind up with exactly what you're looking for, a real project, which when translated means someone with some serious personal problems of their own. These problems should be left to the trained professionals. Don't try to be a therapist. Nikki, what do you think about that comment?
Well, unfortunately, I was one of those people. Whether
wow,
it was
really?
Friends or relationships. I don't know. I know it's part of my ministry or my call, but it's like I always ran into people that were projects. And and one thing on my self-reflecting last night, considering that, Raz, we had talked about the title of the show and everything, I did some self-reflecting last night, and I was like, okay, Why did I go through certain things in my life? Why do I feel the way that I feel at certain times? And I think sometimes we take on projects to keep ourselves busy when we ourselves was at one time a project. So we don't like to really focus. And what I figured out within myself, and it was really, really hard to even look at this. I'm like sitting in the dark in my bedroom with the lights off. And what I realized was I have never, ever, ever experienced true love and compassion from another human being. Never.
Mm.
I'm talking
wow.
now, if time there was something, it was because somebody wanted something from me, whether it was money, whether it was a word from God, whether it was just always something that they wanted from me. And so therefore, I guess in turn, subconsciously, I end up attracting people who are projects, because I'm trying to show them, I'm trying to love them the way I want to be loved, unconditionally. Mm. Hey, I don't want anything from you. I just love you for you. But the problem with that is when you give to people who are projects, they are just that. They're projects, so they're going to take. So it leaves you void. And thank God I don't have insecurity issues, because it's like a sister. If I didn't have Christ, man, I might have killed myself a long time ago. But when I really sat down and thought about that, like, wow, you know, I'm talking about the tears was like flowing last night. Oh. And I'm like, wow, I have never experienced true love and compassion. I just have not. But I know the office that God has called me to, it's a lonely one. You know what I'm saying? I thank God for calling me to it. But it's a lonely one. So for me, I have to definitely do a lot of self-reflecting. I have to be honest with myself, and I have to be very cautious in who I do allow into my life, because that person, I can't afford for anybody else that I say I love to take from me. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I have to have somebody that's going to be willing to love me wholeheartedly, 100%, but I'm also getting to that place that Mike was talking about, to where I want companionship and I desire to be married again, but at this point, it's like, God, it's whatever you have for me. I'm not going to chase it down, because when we try to do it ourselves, it doesn't work out. You know what I mean? And then you end up hurting yourself.
And Nikki, you made a really excellent point, and I just want to tell you this though. God will honor the desires of your heart, and that's for sure, and that's possible. But to the point you just made about trying to do things in your own strength, and let's look at Abraham's life, for example. When Abraham wanted a son, what did he do? Him and Sarah, they got impatient, and they went out and constructed things in their own natural means and created the Ishmael, which is why the reason why we have issues with the Islam right now. But God had a promise that he was going to come through and provide them with Isaac. So, you know, I also did a lot of self-reflection myself, and I'm definitely guilty in my past of trying to force things to happen in my own strength. I mean, naturally, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. And I'm a go-getter. And what I was doing was being a go-getter in every area of my life, not realizing that there are certain things that God had to do for me. I couldn't make it happen within my own strength. So it was actually really new for me, and I had to adjust my mentality in that particular area. So what the Lord had shared with me was that don't let this thing that you desire become your idol. Lay it down. Rest. Let me do it. And you know what I found? I found that when you let God do it, it goes much faster and much smoother. When you try to do it yourself, man, it's a whole other situation. And that's my comment. Ronnie, you have anything to say about that?
I've also realized, too, is not only when you make it your idol, when you do make something your idol, you are letting God know that you're not ready for that thing. Because if you're going to put it before God and you're not going to be patient enough to let God bring it to you, then it shows your immaturity, and you're telling God, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this thing. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, well, all the time, when we're trying to force a situation ourselves, we already see the red flags. We see the red flags ahead of time, but it's because we want it anyway. Is, you know, we try to force the situation, and then we don't do nothing but end up getting hurt and wasting our time and all that. So,
That's a good point. Mr. Wani, what do you have to say about that?
No, you guys are right on it. You know, the whole, I think you said it best. You know, if we don't have a real example of what love is, we might attach ourselves to something that we think is love, you know, because it fulfills, it's emotional, you know, it's taking up our time, you know, there's a little give and take involved, and you know, if you got a project person that you're with, you want to build them up, you're looking forward for them to do good, and you're doing all you can, and you might think that's love, but like she said, nobody was giving back. So it's not a two-way thing, because if this person's unfinished, they're getting all the attention. And so, you know, you guys covered it, that we need to open our eyes and see what are we doing. Am I getting this project boyfriend or girlfriend because I don't want to look at myself? Or am I getting this project boyfriend or girlfriend because I'm always used to being, you know, the one that bails everybody out? And so this is how you go in autopilot, and you think that's what relationship is, when relationship is supposed to give as well as receive from you. So, yeah, we do need to identify exactly what is this? What is this all about? You know, what is this all about? So taking a minute to identify, am I dealing with this person because there's love, or just because I recognize the roller coaster and I like going for the ride?
Absolutely. You know, the next area that I identified as being an issue as far as being marriage or relationship material is you haven't unpacked your baggage. If you find yourself still dealing with the emotional scars left from the shrapnel of a previous breakup, particularly if you're still feeling angry, then you need to finish your emotional healing before starting a new relationship. Many men and women believe that a new person, sometimes any person, will get their mind off their ex and into a better place. The problem with that thinking is that it never really works. What it will do is keep your mind off the person that you're now starting a relationship with and cause you to feel guilty, cause him and maybe you too to feel resentful, and generally make a big mess of you know, for everybody. So, guys, leave the rebounding to the basketball players. So, Nikki, what do you think about that comment about, you know, unresolved baggage and then trying to cover it up by going into a new relationship?
Well, a lot of people do it. And I had a conversation before with you, Raz, and some other people about when people do that, it's like an analogy of like a Band-Aid. You know what I'm saying? When you get hurt and there's a sore, you know, we put a Band-Aid over it. And as you're going through your healing process, the Band-Aid is keeping the wound from getting dirt in it, or if it's touched again, it won't be hurt, you know, because it's a superficial covering. But the thing is that once that wound is healed, then the Band-Aid is discarded. And nobody, I mean, take a minute to think about that. Nobody actually thinks about how appreciative they were to the Band-Aid that kept their wound from being re-injured. Nobody thinks about it. You just take it off and you throw it away. Well, that's what wounded people are going through the world doing. They are using people, other humans, as Band-Aids. And then once they get over that hurt, then it's like, okay, I don't have a need for you anymore. So then it's like a never-ending cycle of a bunch of people going around hurting people and just discarding people. And it's nothing but like a selfish, you know, it's just a selfish, self-fulfilling situation. And so, I mean, I think we just need to take our time with who we deal with. And then another thing is that, you know, a lot of people play a lot of games. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're not ready. You know, you're using this person, you know, for security measures or whatever the case may be, because, you know, this person before did me like yada, yada, yada or whatever. And it's just foul how the world is today. And with me being divorced, and it makes me afraid in a sense. If I wasn't serving the true and risen Savior, I probably wouldn't trip off getting back in a relationship, period. But sitting back watching all of that, it makes you kind of apprehensive, should I say, more than afraid, the word afraid. It makes you apprehensive into going out into that arena because people are so, they're not authentic. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be that Band-Aid and be discarded. You know, you don't want somebody playing games with you. You truly out there serving the Lord and want to love somebody, you know. And this person, they have their own issues. They're saying all the right things. They're trying to make all the right connections or pretending like they are. And then what ends up happening is when that other person comes along that they really cared about, who they're really carrying all that baggage behind, you know, then you are discarded and now you have some baggage because of, you know, somebody else was immature and wasn't ready. So, I don't know, maybe I went on a little bit, but hopefully y'all got my what I was talking about.
We got you.
Well, Nikki, that was an awesome point, and you're absolutely right. That does happen, and I like that analogy used with the Band-Aid. That's good. Well,
that's right.
The next point I want to talk about is self-sabotage. Some single people value their independence above all else. The idea of committing to someone is something that scares them to death. Rather than committing, they prefer to stay single, not because they feel called to honor God in singleness, but because they worship their independence above all else. Sometimes the underlying root of this is fear because of, you know, witnessing failed relationships. So I've seen a lot of situations where people get into relationships, but when it comes to the point of it getting to almost close to marriage or really working out, they self-sabotage the situation, the relationship, because they're not fully healed. They cannot connect on a high level and be completely vulnerable. And this, I think, if you suffer from this kind of situation, then you are not truly ready to be in a long-term committed relationship or marriage. Ronnie, what do you have to say about that?
No, that's absolutely true. You know, you got to be totally, totally ready to go forward, because if not, you know, you got to remember you have an enemy that's up against your union. And so if you got your guard down in an area, the enemy's going to creep in and take advantage every time. You're going to be blaming her. She's going to be blaming him. But really, the fault lies on your lack of, you know, spiritually covering you guys' union, going into it the right way. So all those things are important.
Absolutely. Nikki, what do you have to say about self-sabotage?
Well, self-sabotage, I don't even know if people realize that's what they're doing, but I believe it comes from, once again, like we were just talking before about, it comes from baggage. When that baggage is not cleaned out or dealt with, should I say, and people don't give themselves enough time to heal from one relationship before jumping into another, well, when you get someone, okay, say you have a male or a female that was with someone who absolutely used them, didn't treat them right or anything like that, and for some reason these are the people they keep attracting. But when they find a male or a female that absolutely wants to cater to them, wants to love them unconditionally, doesn't want anything from them, just them, then what they end up doing is they look at that individual as being soft. They're not a challenge because they're used to the abuse and the misuse. So I don't think that they are purposely self-sabotaging, but I believe that's why it happens, because people aren't giving themselves enough time to heal from previous situations, and then not only giving yourself time to heal, but actually going and finding out, why was I in that situation and why did this happen? You really need to be clear before you start into something anew, because you will. You can have the guy or the girl of your dreams right there, and because you have all these other past issues and insecurities and immaturities and games that you're still playing, and you can just mess it all up, go right past that person, and then what happens is, as some time go by, you look back and say, wow, that person probably was the one. But hopefully, you know, if that person, you know, was a good person and everything like that, you know, then they're not jaded now. You know what I'm saying? Because they know that they did everything possible to love you, and you, you know, just nothing that I... What it does is it makes you feel like nothing that I did was good enough if you're the good person, you know. So that's how I feel about self-sabotage.
That's an awesome point, Nikki. That's a good point.
You know, one of the areas that I also wanted to talk about is having serious misconceptions about relationships. And when God creates anything, He creates it for success. And relationships are God created relationships. He created marriage, and I believe that God truly created marriage and relationships for success. But the problem is that a lot of people today, especially when they're in relationships, if their relationship requires too much hard work, they feel that they've married or they're with the wrong person. A lot of people think that if I marry the right person, my emotions will happen naturally and effortlessly throughout the relationship. If I marry the right person, my emotions will always just be there. And guys, look, when you fall in love, you have to work at it. Soulmates are not born, they're made. The best marriages that I've seen is where two very different people who have a lot of incompatibilities, but they roll up their sleeves and go through lots of trouble together, but they stay together and work it out, and they come out of it as best friends. So the best relationships and marriages is where the people have high goals and a high work ethic. The worst marriages are the ones where they have the opposite. Which is the opposite. They have high goals but low work ethic, and this is proven in research. So your emotions will only be there to the degree that you work at it. What do you think about that, Ronnie?
I agree with it, and I'm proof of it because I'm married. I've been married for 3 years now. And when we got together, we weren't saved. When we got together, we were both a mess. We were both a mess individually coming into the thing, and together we were just, even more of a mess spiritually, physically. We came from we had destructive habits and things of that nature. And we gave each other space for a while until we started coming against each other and, this is when I came to realize that it was a spiritual thing because all of our physical needs were met. We had a place to stay. We had jobs. We had money. We didn't need anything. We just didn't have peace as a husband and wife or two people in a relationship. And our real peace came when we did exactly what you said. We had to work on it. There was things I had to learn about my wife. There was things I had to admit to my wife. There was some things that, I couldn't expect her to just guess that I had to come and tell her exactly where either I'm lacking or what I need. And, she had to do the same. And so it wasn't something that just happens, like on TV. You actually have to work on it. Like, we both took our dominion not to pretend that, if they don't do it how I want, if she don't do what I...
Okay, I guess we lost Ronnie. We'll get him back. Nikki, what do you think about that comment right there?
Well, I think I agree with Ronnie. I was married for 12 years. I was with my ex-husband for a total of 15 years. And you do have to make a decision to stay in love. And both people have to be on the same wavelength. You know what I'm saying? First of all, it has to be a serious commitment as to where we're going to be together regardless of what, and, it's not going to be any shenanigans or anything like that. And a lot of people who haven't been married, they do have the misconception. I had a conversation with a friend of mine one time, and they made the statement that they didn't want somebody to grow to love them, and I understood exactly what they meant by that. I understood that wholeheartedly. But sometimes, I wouldn't want to be in the relationship already and then somebody saying, I have to grow to love you. I do want you to have some form of love for me before we get into the relationship. But a lot of times, you have to, once all that honeymoon stage is over and the 4th of July is over and all that other type of stuff, okay, now real life happens. And when real life happens, it's like you grow in relationship, that's when the love is a lot stronger because you make a conscious decision to be with that person. So I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with what Ronnie said.
Absolutely. We have a caller from the 760 area code. Hello, caller from the 760 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Hi, this is Tahira. I'm calling from Victorville.
Hey, Tahira, how you doing?
Hey, good. I've been listening to the show since 8 o'clock, since you started. I just want to say this is an awesome show. I think this is a really good topic that you're talking about this evening, and there's been a lot of awesome points that have been made in different areas of reflection that you're kind of challenging the listeners to, you know, take time to reflect on themselves. I just wanted to give a shout-out really to Nikki. Nikki, you said a whole lot of things that have just been spectacular tonight. When you were talking about people and projects and just the call that God has on your life, like, I really, if a mirror could speak, like, it was totally reflection on me. Like, I felt every word that you said because I have found myself in that same situation. When you were talking about, I believe, Raj, you had mentioned, are we just, like, do we try to change people? You know, we get in relationships and try to change who they are. That's one of the things that I used to do, not realizing it, but after a while of going in circles in different relationships, the Lord really had to slow me down and let me know. I mean, we do fall into that trap of trying to change people, especially because we want, like you were saying, Nikki, we want to love them the way we want to be loved. But God had revealed to me, I mean, when you try to change a person, you're basically trying to change them against their will. If they're not doing it on their own, you know, you're influencing and enforcing. Maybe some of us can be aggressive with it and just passionate about it. And, you know, God won't even violate our will, right? We know that He gives us our free will. So if God the Father who created us won't violate our will, you know, how do we think that we can, you know what I'm saying, change somebody? So I just think that that's a revelation that everyone should really pay attention to, because it's something that's real, and it's just like you said, Raz, when you're trying to do it in your own strength, it never works. Because God, there's some things that we just have to rely and trust in God to do. And us as Christians, you know, if we're wanting a relationship with someone that is in the body of Christ that equally loves the Lord the same and, you know, has that relationship, then we have to trust and rely on God, you know. So I thought that was awesome. Also, too, I just wanted to comment on just now when you were just talking about I think was your I'm sorry the gentleman on the panel, I think his call, he got disconnected.
Oh, Ronnie.
Yeah. Okay. When he was just talking about how about his marriage and everything, and they came together and stuff like that, I was really zoomed into what he was saying too, that I hope he can get back on and finish that. But
yeah, he's on.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I'd relate. I've never been married, but just in a relationship. And a lot of times, you know, we do come together with somebody that they're not on the same, we're not on the same level, we're not on the same page. Maybe we are, but just not in Christ. I think that's what you were saying, Ronnie. And and one thing that I wanted to say, relationship is work, you know, and a lot of times people don't realize that. They do want something that is just, you know, right now. It's kind of like that, you know, society, you know, like fast food. We want it right now. You know, we don't want to wait. We don't want to work for it. We just want it. And so I think a lot of times that's the outlook on relationships, and I agree with you. There is work to be done in a relationship. It's work. It's a full-time job, you know, and I think a lot of times when people desire, and especially in the body of Christ, when we desire a godly relationship, we don't realize the work it's going to take. Because one thing that I do know, and somebody always tells me, that the devil fights the most what he fears the most. And like you were saying, Ronnie, that we already have an adversary against the union that we desire. So we should know that we have to work. We have to always be, you know, on our toes. We always have to be prepared and ready and, you know, working and staying in Christ and doing what we have to do. I love the show. And I just, the last thing I just wanted to say really was that for the listeners that are listening, one thing that I've realized is we always a lot of times think that if it doesn't work or if there's struggle, then it's not God. And we think that when it's, you know, the door is wide open, everything flows together, everything's smooth, it is God. But a lot of times, because he's always constantly growing us in trial and error, you know, the Bible says that what the devil means for evil, God is made for good. So
that's
those
right.
temptations and those trials that the devil puts before us, a lot of times God is using that to grow us and develop us and mature us as Christians. So a lot of times what always doesn't feel good, what I don't want to say what always, but what doesn't feel good doesn't mean all the time it's not God. And what does feel good doesn't always mean it is God.
That's good.
You know what I mean? So, yeah,
that's
but
cool.
I love, yeah, I love the show. You guys are awesome, and I just wanted to call in and just give my input. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, and, you know, stick around. If you have some more, you know, we're gonna be having a, you know, further discussion, and we like your comments. Real quick, before you go, Tahira, Nikki, what do you think of Tahira's comment?
I'm really tuned into it, paying attention to what she's saying. The one thing that I have to say that Ronnie did say, he said that his relationship was a struggle when they first started off because they weren't saved. And I do feel like that when I said that relationships, you have to work at them. I mean by that is everything is not going to be rosy all the time, but I do know that God is not the author of confusion. So you have to pay attention and be very discerning because manipulation is very deceiving. So to what God is saying, if God is telling you, hey, sit down, be still, if you're a believer, is what I'm saying. Ronnie and his wife at the time, they weren't saved. They were going through. So, of course, when you're not saved and you're trying to come together, it can be a little rocky, especially when you have a call on your life, as Ronnie evidently does. But when you're saved and you're going into a relationship, what God puts together shouldn't be difficult. And if there's games and manipulation and all that type of stuff and you're trying to force it and you both are believers, then maybe that's not. If they're not the person for you, maybe it's not the right timing. Because believers, if you're having a problem in a relationship and trying to make it work, then you need to seek God's face. Because a lot of times, like I said, people who say they're believers and they don't have everything together and they still have a lot of baggage, they come with a lot of manipulation. Satan knows the word, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan can throw things out there and it'll sound, you know, 99% good, but that 1% bad, you know, the water could be 99% pure, but you throw that little bit of mud in there, it's all dirty. So
that's
as
right.
a believer, what I would say, if you're having a difficult time and you're trying to come together as believers, not that you're already married, but people who are trying to be married and they're having a problem, you need to sit down and see God's face.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Ronnie, do you have anything to say to Tahira?
Oh, no. You know, she's on the right path, and no, I want to reinforce what she said. It does take work. Just like Nikki's saying, it takes work, whether you saved in a relationship, especially if you're not saved, because you probably blame your partner for what the enemy's doing, or you'll probably blame something in the natural realm for what's going on in the physical realm. But even yeah. if you're saved, you still have to examine yourself to make sure, am I mistreating my wife? Am I asking too much of her? Am I holding up my end? You know, did I forget to tell her how beautiful she is and how much I love her, because we've been working and grinding all week, and, you know, I put those things before her. So it requires work for it to work, because I believe from my experience, it's us working on the things that bring us together. That's what's making our bond, the things that we overcame, the things that we noticed, the, you know, admitting to each other, you know, my bad, I should have this, and, you know, I'm glad you did that, or the us coming together and growing with each other is what strengthens our bond, and that growing with each other, that's the work. It requires work. You know, I got to tolerate, you know, her time. You know, I had a problem. I don't know if other guys have it. I had a problem with recognizing her time of the month. Not like I'm blaming everything on that. But me having that lack of knowledge, I would take things personal. And now she already feels uncomfortable. She's already going through something hormonal. But now I want to argue with her because I don't understand. And that's something I had to learn. It's something, you know, for whatever reason, she wasn't comfortable with dealing with that. But out of love for her, I had to realize that, you know, I had to do the work that it took to come to terms with what's going on in my wife's life so that we could stay together. And that strengthened our bond. You know, that's just one thing, you know, not just that little thing, but I just use that as an example. It's going to be every single step of the way, you know. Some things that I didn't know about her past that she had issues with, and I do the same, and I'm just as honest with her so that through us being honest, through us overcoming, through us really putting the devil to shame by being honest with each other, we grow stronger, we grow together tighter, and it requires work. That requires sometimes swallowing something that you didn't want to hear. That, you know, that requires, you know, it requires you putting yourself second and putting your partner first. And then that's what builds your bond. Even though she's not perfect cookie cut out or what I was used to when I was in high school, you know, this is who God gave me, and it wasn't for nothing, and it's not for nothing. So I'm gonna be a good steward and work on making what God put together work.
That's an awesome point, Ronnie. I here want to thank you for calling in, and if you want, please stick around. You want to do that, or you need to go?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, awesome. Okay, we have another caller from the 70 area code. Caller from the 760 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tiana.
Hey, Tiana, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. Welcome to Can We Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
I just want to give a shout-out to my mama, Nikki.
All right. Yeah, your mom's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a question? Okay, I guess we lost her. All right, Ronnie. Well, guys, I want to go back to the next point. My next point is this. If your emotions change, it doesn't necessarily mean that you married the wrong person or you're with the wrong person. Emotions come and go. I can't predict my emotions on a daily basis. The best love in the world is loving by choice, which is called agape love. I don't know what my emotions are going to do tomorrow, but I'm always in control of my will. Agape love is loving somebody because you choose to love them. You've made a conscious decision. No matter how they treat you, no matter what they do, you will still love them. And I think this is so important because a lot of women who are insecure, they pick people, they pick men, and they attract them with their bodies. But the problem is that the men that you pick, these men are not lovers, they're lusters. And at the end of the day, if something happens to you, let's say a woman gets breast cancer, her breast gets cut off, or she loses weight, she can't take care of herself, she can't bathe herself, she can't use the bathroom by herself, is that same guy that you attracted with your body, that luster, is he going to stick around and love you till death do you part and love you and look at you with the same intensity as Christ loved the church? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So it's so important to make sure that the person that you love and you also are loving that person with the agape love of God. Because if you love based upon your emotions, a shallow kind of love, guys, you are not relationship or marriage material. So, Tahir, what do you think about that comment?
That's really good. I think a lot of times we tend to be driven by our emotions, and that's a really good point that you make. You know, when you're with someone or when you are looking and actively seeking towards relationship, it is important that you get, you know, that it's not just about lust, it's not just about that physical appearance, because like you said, any, you know, things happen and things can change. You know, we may not always look the way that we did, you know, in our youthful years. Is that person going to be you know, they're loving you, like you said, unconditionally, really is what you described. And that's the way Christ loves us, unconditionally, you know, and that's the same type of love that we should seek. So when you were talking about the ladies and I think you just mentioned how they may, you know, dress or be, right? Did you say that? And how men will lust after them?
Absolutely.
Some women do, like you said, use their bodies, you know, to attract men, and that's the worst thing I believe that a woman can do, just because, you know, I don't know. I've heard it once said that, and no offense to the men on the call, but on the show, rather, I'm sorry, but men tend to, you know, they tend to categorize women, you know, like kind of like their cars, right? You know, men love cars, and they say, oh, this is my baby, or this is this and that, you know. They kind of lust after women the way that they lust after cars, if you've ever heard that. I don't know if you could agree, but that's one thing that that's why I really feel like it is the worst thing a woman can do is use their body to try to attract, because you're automatically going to attract what you don't want, especially a woman of God. That should not even be a question. But ladies that are listening, if you are attracting that type of attention, then you do, you know, need to step back and do a evaluation on what are you projecting, because you're only going to attract what you project. And with our emotions, you know, sometimes we use, you know, our emotions to judge what we're looking for or what's meaningful to us, but we need to turn to the Word of God and let that be final authority.
Absolutely. Excellent points I hear. Nikki, same question to you. What do you think about my comment regarding, a very shallow form of love instead of using agape love?
Well, my perception of that is if somebody is using their physical appearance to attract someone, then not only are they not going to attract someone that they can get that agape love from, but they are not the type of people that's going to give it either, because they are shallow. You know what I mean? They're using shallow means to attract, so that lets you know that themselves have shallow characteristics. So, you know, I mean, we have to be honest. We are visual people. We have vision for a reason. Men are visual. Women are visual. But if you are actually going out of your way to, hey, let me buy this type of clothes, let me make sure I have, you know, dress this way for men, let me go into the gym and pump up, or let me get this particular type of a car just so I can attract the opposite sex, then yeah, they're shallow, so they're not gonna be capable of giving agape love, let alone attracting someone who's going to give agape love. Because a lot of times, I've heard it once said, we attract actually mirror images of ourselves sometimes. So, and that's my comment.
Hey, you taking my line again, Nikki? Come on, man. But that's a good comment, Nikki. I like your comment. And, you know, we're running out of time, guys, but real quick, I wanted to talk about the last point I wanted to talk about tonight is having a poor self-image or low self-esteem makes you incapable of being qualified to have being in a relationship or a marriage. And the reason why I say this is because a lot of people go into relationships being broken emotionally. For example, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, their eyes were open, and God said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I hid because I was naked. And God told him, he said, Adam, who told you you were naked? So my question to you out there is, who's listening, who told you were too ugly? Who told you, you know, you weren't tall enough? Who told you you weren't attractive enough? Who told you you weren't light enough or dark enough? Or who told you these things? These are all false messages out there in the world that the devil wants you to assimilate into your thinking, to render you incapable of walking in true faith and in the love of God. The person that God has for you will love you for who you are. You do not have to change yourself to accommodate any other individual. Live life from within, not from outside in, and getting things or acquiring things to make yourself better. Because now you're believing a lie that you're defective when you're not. God made you beautiful. Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
I think you're right on point, you know, and it really back to the basics, you know, whose word are you going on? Are you going on the word of God, or are you going on, you know, what society is feeding you? And so the thing is, we know low self-esteem as, you know, the person who feel they couldn't make it or they couldn't do it. Another side of low self-esteem is, if I only think I'm as good as the rap songs say, if my esteem only goes as far as my favorite TV show or what's in the rumor mill or what the celebrities are wearing, that's a low self-esteem in comparison to being the righteousness of God. That's a low self-esteem in comparison to the promises that God says he has for you. And that's low self-esteem to say I'm what society says a person is, compared to God saying, you are made in my image and in my likeness. And so we need to shift our esteem to fit what God says we are. We're his creation, and his creation is good. Like Raz said, who told you that you needed a particular car or to be a particular waist size to be considered in the A class? You know, who told you that? That's society's lie, and society is controlled by the devil. So if you base your esteem on the latest rap video, you're going to be misled, because you need to base your esteem on the biblical truth that's given to us by God. So let's bring our let our self-esteem come from God's word, and we won't go into a relationship vulnerable, needing to be needing our egos stroked. We'll go into a relationship confident, knowing that I'm an asset. No matter what, I'm an asset, because God created me to be an asset, and he gave me dominion over the things that happen in life and on this earth. And so our esteem needs to be coming from the Bible and not from popular culture.
Absolutely. Excellent point, Ronnie. You know, guys, we're running out of time. And I want to thank Nikki. And Nick, do you have a really quick word to say before we go?
Really quick, I just think that to us on the panel, to our caller, Tahira, and to everybody else who's listening, we just need to take a page out of Mike's book, the first caller, and we just need to be patient. We need not to rush things. We need not to jump things. We need to just be patient, seek godly counsel, do some self-reflecting, be truthful with yourself, and let God prepare you and make you marriage material.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. Ronnie, any last closing comments real quick?
What she said.
I hear, I know you're still there. Do you have any last closing comments?
I agree with both Nikki and Ronnie, and you yourself, Raz, and also just remember that God said he created us in his image and his likeness. So he said that we're the apple of his eye. So as long as we're okay with him and he gives us his stamp of approval, then that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Guys, it's been a great show. Again, we ran out of time, man. It was just time to get good. But, you know, tune in same time next week for Can We Talk Radio. This is what we do. This is who we are. We believe we worship God at a high level, and we just give all the praise and glory to God. So, guys, tune in same time next week, and we'll see you soon. Peace.